Those last 10 words of that first reading have had a big impact on my life. God is speaking in the book of Exodus there, and he says, if he cries out to me, I will hear him, for I am compassionate. Now, God always hears us, right? But specifically, he says, if we cry out to him. It's important for us to articulate, to speak out the thoughts and the desires of our hearts. God always hears us, but he also waits to be asked. And the last line is very powerful. It's kind of an absolute statement of sorts. For I am compassionate. It's one of those rare I am statements describing God. It's interesting. The Bible never says that God is nice, but he is compassionate. I worked in Washington, D.C. for a few years for the U.S. Bishops' Conference. And when I moved out there, as with any change, there was an adjustment period. And one night I was getting ready for bed, and I was stewing about an interaction I had earlier that day with a colleague. And I was trying to decide, should I just let it go? Or should I talk with someone about it? And for some reason, I thought to myself, well, if I really had faith, then I should ask God very clearly which of these two things I should do, and he'll tell me. And remember, I was relatively new in D.C. I was homesick, and I was struggling with whether to stir the pot or not. So with all my little heart, and with all the faith I could muster, I asked God to give me a simple yes or no. I made it so simple for him. And I got down on my knees, and I closed my eyes, and I waited. And I waited. And I waited. Nothing. Now, in all honesty, it was a pretty emotional moment, because I already felt lonely. And in that moment, I felt like God wasn't there either. Well, the next morning, I went to work, and a lady who worked in an office down the hall, kind of out of the blue, stopped by my office. And she said, I was making a holy hour last night, and God told me to tell you that he wants to talk with you. You can imagine how big my eyes got. And I'm thinking to my head, well, he talks to her, he won't talk with me, you know. But I thanked her. And after she left, I closed the door to my office, and there were no windows. And I got down on my knees. And honestly, I was a little nervous, because when she said, tell him I want to talk with him, my immediate reaction was, what did I do wrong? But I got down, and I told God, here I am again, ready to hear whatever you have to tell me. And again, I waited and waited, and again, nothing. And I didn't know what to make of it, right? And I just tried to forget about it. Okay, fine. A few nights later, again, I was getting into bed, when out of the blue, those words of that lady from work came back to me. But suddenly I heard them with a whole different emphasis. Tell him I want to talk with him. Tell him I want to talk with him. When he cries out to me, I will hear him, for I am compassionate. God wanted to have so much more than what I was willing to give him. He doesn't just want to tell me yes or no and then disappear. He doesn't just want to be present when we decide that we need him. He always wants to be present. He's always ready to be part of our lives, not just when we're needy or ready to tolerate him. In the second reading, St. Paul is describing the conversion experience of the Thessalonians. And he says to the Thessalonians, you turned to God from idols. The image that I had of God as some giant divine fortune cookie that gave out helpful information, but no real relationship, was an idol. God was helping me to turn away from that idol. Now, how many more idols or misconceptions or false images do I have of God? The only way we overcome the idols is through the vulnerability of entering into a real relationship. How many idols do we have about rich people? How many idols do we have about poor people? About people who look different from me? How many idols do we have about the church? About this or that teaching of the church? And certainly, how many idols or false images do we have about God? How vulnerable can I be to let go of how I want God or the church or another person to be and simply encounter them, the real them? St. Paul also writes this morning about Jesus delivering us from the coming wrath. The coming wrath. Now, wait a minute. God is not about wrath, right? So Paul must be off there. Or maybe he was having a bad day. Or maybe he was a grumpy old man by the time he wrote this and didn't know what he was talking about. Or maybe wrath means something other than what I'm thinking it means. We like it when God says, I am compassionate. But being compassionate means he desires justice. And justice is about wrongs being made right. If I resist justice, it probably feels like wrath to me. Wrath is righteous anger in the face of stubborn or unrepentant injustice. A repentant thief may experience prison as the just penalty for crime. An unrepentant thief probably experiences prison as the wrath of the state. If we strive to love God first, with all our heart, soul, mind, and then to love our neighbor just as fully as ourselves, we'll be striving for real relationship. And our idols will start tumbling down. So here's the homework for the week. Open wide your heart this week. First of all, to Christ, striving simply to encounter him and leaving behind how you think he should be. But second, open wide your heart to another, maybe someone who's outside your comfort circle. So encounter Christ and encounter another. And let the idols fall.